If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Frank Bull is brought to you by CBD American Shaman in Shaman's Leawood Total Wellness at 117th and Row in Camelot Court. Shaman's Leawood Total Wellness is the perfect place to start your wellness journey, offering medical aesthetics and IV nutrient therapy. Go to shamantotalwellness.com.
He's the only man to interview modern-day gladiators at Arrowhead and original gladiators in the Coliseum. He grew up rooting for Honus Wagner and saw Jesse Owens get 4 golds in Berlin. He saw Wilt score 100 in a night. Points, of course. Yes, we are saying he's old. It's the godfather of Kansas City sports, Frank Bull, on the program.
That's right, the godfather of Kansas City sports, Frank Bull, is with us, brought to you by CBD American Shaman. Frank!
Yes.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Scary news, if you missed it right before we broke, the Associated Press reporting that Christian Pulisic, who scored the only goal of the match, the game winner, to send the U.S. into the knockout round, has been taken to the hospital with an abdominal injury. And he, of course, went down. You could see the area he was holding.
Yes.
Seemed to be like the most tender of areas, but it seems like it's more than just the, ooh, that hurts for a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's now being cared for in a hospital. So that's scary when you consider the U.S. turns around and plays Saturday.
It's the Netherlands.
At 8A.
Against La Ange.
Against the Netherlands. There'll be orange smoke bombs everywhere.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
It's what they do.
It looked like he got hit right in the groin. When he
You
got
know
hit.
What you need for that?
Pardon me?
You know what you need for that? Groinment.
Is that a dad joke or what?
I don't know.
It's pretty good.
That was good.
Yeah.
But it looked like he got it right there. And then when you looked at the slow motion, it looked like a little bit higher and to the right. But right in that area, right where the leg is attached to the bottom of the torso, he got it right in that area, which is right above the groin. It would hurt like hell.
Maybe a sports hernia.
Knee
or,
like that.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
Torn abdominal muscle of some kind. Yeah, it is scary. Yeah, I mean, anytime a guy goes to the hospital after a sporting event, it's scary. So we'll see what ends up happening there. Were you excited? Did you take in the match?
I did. I watched the entire match. And I'm normally here about 2 or 2:30.
8 a.m. for your 3:30 show prep
today. Yeah. Uh-huh. But I stayed at home, watched the whole match. Very exciting. It was fun. I like the World Cup. Soccer on a daily basis to me or year-by-year basis is not quite as exciting as something like that. But for the World Cup, I like the World Cup, yeah. Just wish U.S. would do better more consistently than they do. They're into the knockout round, which is great. I don't think many people give them a chance, especially if Pulisic is hurt, to beat Netherlands.
Yeah, that hurts a lot.
I think they'll be a pretty heavy underdog against Netherlands, who's a very, very good side, so.
They are number 8, is that
in
what
the world?
Said, Curtis?
On
the,
yes.
FIFA men's rankings.
Where is U.S.?
The Netherlands are 8, the United States is 16.
You mean in this round of 16?
No, no, that's their world
overall.
FIFA rankings.
Okay, well, they
that
got to
eight,
where
US
they should have gotten.
Yeah, right. Wales was 19 and Iran was 20.
Okay.
So, you know, the teams that were supposed to advance. England's 5.
Yeah.
Top of the food chain, Brazil, Belgium, Argentina, France, England. That's your top 5. Italy, who didn't make it,
didn't
qualify as 6, by the way, did not qualify for this World Cup. Spain, Netherlands, Portugal, Denmark.
Yeah.
That's your top 10.
I think U.S. played great today. They did what they had to do to get through. Didn't like the way they played against Wales. Once they scored the goal, they just backed up and played defense the whole time. They didn't do that as much this time. They did do it a little. They didn't do it as much as they did against Wales, knowing what happened to them in that match. So that
they
was
did it more late once it, you know, they even seemed to be pushing a little bit to start the second half. Then they kind of bunkered in. But then they give up 2 good chances. There was one on a free kick.
Yes.
That was just left of the goal and was quite scary. And then at the very end, There was one where the Iranian player went down in the box. He was trying to draw a penalty, and I think, and they reviewed it, and they quickly went, "Nope, he's just
that could have been
falling."
Devastating.
And then the ball rolled on through, and it was rolling towards the goal line, and they, it looked like it could go on in, but a U.S. defender came and cleared it away. So it was a little couple of nerve-wracking moments there at the end.
Yes, absolutely. But I enjoyed it. It was great, and I'm glad they've moved on to the knockout stage and just go from there.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens in 4 years when they come here.
That's it? You're going ahead?
I'm done. Saturday's a loss.
That's it.
I'm out.
This year's over.
I'm gone.
Are you going to be up and at them watching?
Back to football instead of football.
Are you going to be watching Saturday?
Yes. I will get up and watch the match. Absolutely.
Okay.
8 a.m. Saturday morning. What else am I doing on Saturday morning? Not much, you know? I'll get up and watch.
Good to know.
For the U.S. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm all right. Then I want to ask you, just because we haven't gotten this yet today, but the Chicago White Sox unveiled their entire coaching staff today. Everybody. Every spot's filled.
Including two people who...
We're Royals.
Yeah, coming over from KC.
Pedro Grifol being one of them as the manager.
I think he brought two others.
And two others. Well, I know he brought the former field coordinator is going to be the third base coach.
Mm-hmm.
Tozar.
Mike Tozar.
Yeah.
Then somebody else.
And?
Maybe some point.
Royals?
Get somebody hired like that?
A guy?
You mean like a pitching coach? Instructor?
Yeah.
Or a pitching coach, I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm
they
not ready
use
to
some pitching instructors too, but I'm just saying pitching coaches.
I'm not ready to say it's a problem now, but I think I will on Monday.
Yeah, and I saw who did I just see that they would be Michael A. Taylor and Hunter Dozier. There's a little talk about both of them being on the trade block for the team. I'm not saying that's incredibly like oh my god one of those deals, but I'm just saying they're out there making – there's other people talking about them making a little noise somewhere else.
Right.
About trading them off if they get the right – and I'm not sure how different they are now without Dayton Moore there about pulling the trigger on some of these guys and not demanding so much in return for some of their people that they are willing to move.
Well, I would like them to figure out how far away they are. And if they're like, well, 23 is not the year.
No.
Okay. It's 24?
No.
No. It's 25. Okay, then Scott Barlow and Michael A. Taylor need to be sent for whatever
somewhere
you can get.
Yeah, exactly.
Because neither one of them figure to be productive players, just the attrition that happens with pitchers and relievers. Right. They need to go so that you can get players that will be part of the equation at that time.
And not... Continue to re-sign some of these old guys.
And this is something that Ranny has said on our podcast, our Kauffman Corner podcast. Like, how can you make that determination if you don't even have your pitching coordinator?
Exactly.
Right? Like, we're getting the winter meeting. What day is the winter meetings? December 13th or something, I'm thinking. You know, we're about 2 weeks away from the winter meetings where the groundwork and the framework of a lot of trades start happening. If you haven't even brought your pitching coach in yet,
right?
Like, don't you want his input on whether or not you're going to trade somebody? And if you don't want his input, what's really different here?
Starts Sunday.
This Sunday.
Oh, December 4th or the 7th.
Oh, jeez. That's worse yet.
So you're going to start laying the framework for trades, and you're not even going to have a pitching coach at the major league level to talk about, like, well, Barlow, what do you think? This guy? How about these guys that were like, you don't even have that position filled yet?
How much do you think that might be? They've got some guys targeted, but they don't particularly want to come here.
That's the real fear, right? I'm optimistic that they've got almost everybody put in place and they just want to announce it all at once, kind of like the White Sox did. So my hope is that the pitching coach is done. Mm-hmm. They've got their guy. They just haven't announced it, although I don't know how a pitching coach hire wouldn't have leaked out.
Or it's not that big a deal. I mean, maybe Torres is because of their pitching problems in the past, but that hire would not be like earth-shattering type deal. It's not a managerial change, you know what I mean? I think it's important for the Royals, so I'm just saying it's not.
Yeah, I hear you, and where I the disconnect there is, if it's not important, then why didn't you fire Cal Eldred?
Yeah.
Right? If it's not important, well, then you had an easy guy to take some pressure off the rest of the team. Fire that guy. Oh, no, he's the right guy for the job. Okay, so then it's important. right? Like, I don't think there's any way that, as poor as the Royals pitching can be, that you can try to hatch on this town that that spot ain't important.
Yeah.
And it's one that you know this entire city is, and that's what I'm wondering is, are they like, we've got to find a big name?
Yeah, we've got to make a splash with this hire. And then all of a sudden they have some people on their list and they're going, here's the top guy, go ask him what he wants. He said he don't want to come here. Don't bother. You know? Okay, we'll go number two. He said he don't want to come here. Don't bother.
Right.
Because maybe the philosophy and the, everything has to change as far as pitching is concerned, starting with the minor leagues and development, research, development, scouting, who we're drafting, who we're bringing in here to try to fill this pitching staff.
We already know that one team in this division got outbid by a college program for a pitching coach.
Yeah. Minnesota lost in season their pitching coach to LSU, for crying out loud. All right, Lance Leipold.
Yes.
Makes $1 million a year less than Eli Drinkwitz. Is that compensation correct?
That's Lance Leipold's fault.
Well, right. Is it?
That's not Eli Drinkwitz's fault.
No.
That's Lance's fault by not trying to cash in on this deal.
I agree. I think you say two things. One, nice job, Eli Drinkwitz's agent, who's like the agent, what's his name, who's got every coach out there.
Yeah.
Good job for him. And I'm no hater. Get whatever you can get while you can get it.
I'm not faulting Eli Drinkwitz here.
I think it speaks to a little bit of one. I mean, the power of the SEC, and I think you know Eli Drinkwitz
money Eli, the SEC too.
But there's not that. I get tired of that.
Okay,
because the money in the SEC is like $8 million a year more. Everyone acts like, well, there's so much more money. No, there's so much more money for Alabama because they sell 109,000 tickets, right? But that TV deal, we get that number. It's like they're going to go to 55. Okay, and what's the Big 12 at? 48. Like, that's the difference is the donations. So Mizzou donors are paying the difference. I think it's like you could thank yourself for taking the SEC job because that's the going rate. And I think they feel like to convince recruits that you can't have the lowest paid coach in the SEC. That's why like five of them all make $8 million.
Yeah. Jimmy Sexton's the
Jimmy Sexton. Thank you. Hugh Freeze is a hot bag of mess. And he's getting $9 million.
I know. It's just crazy.
Right. But to Drinkwitz or to Leipold, I think one, Travis Goff obviously kept his guy, didn't overpay.
The guy likes being there, obviously.
But isn't it also a statement, and this is something that Curtis and I were talking about this morning. You know, I think Kansas fans, like, what do you think they expect? Like, what should they be next year? Adam, you're the Kansas guy.
What is their non?
Maybe it's because it's been so long that since they've had steady success, and maybe people are going to tell me I need to be more optimistic. If you offer me a bowl game next year, right now, I take it. You give me 6 wins right now, or I roll the dice, I take 6 wins.
Okay, what should they be in? What should they be in 24?
24, I think that's you may start. Now, again, this is all depending on recruiting, but assuming
No.
Okay,
what
you're right.
What should
no,
you
right,
be
right,
in
right,
24?
Yeah, no, you're right.
You're
going to
qualify
then,
it.
You
what are
recruit.
The expectations?
You need to be playing. You need to be. You need to be legitimately. You need to be winning 7 or 8 games and legitimately still have a shot at a trip to the Big 12 title by. What would the week before week 11? Week is that the week before Thanksgiving?
Okay, so
week
still
11?
Alive.
Yeah,
still 25.
Alive. Maybe around there. I'll see.
Don't say it.
I mean, I think. Look, it's clearly been done before with Mangino. I think you need to be thinking. By 20, I'll say 26, you need to be thinking about 10 wins.
Okay. And winning the Big 12? Going to the championship
game?
Yeah,
maybe going to the championship game.
Okay.
So I think you're a much more realistic individual than most Kansas fans. I think next year most Kansas fans are like, I don't know, like 8 wins?
Yeah.
What about the year after? Well, 10, like in it for the conference championship?
Right, yeah.
So let me give you.
give me the non-con.
Here's what the big boy did, Mark Mangino. Went 2-10. Sound familiar?
Yes.
Okay. His second year, he went 6-6 and then lost the bowl game to finish 6-7.
Right.
Missed a bowl.
Third year, next year, where I think people are going to be thinking 8 wins.
He fell back.
4-7.
Mm-hmm.
right? Next year after that, 7-5. Mm-hmm. Fifth in the North, Fort Worth Bowl. Next year after that.
That seventh win was the bowl. Just to note, he did win the bowl.
6-5 and then won the bowl to go 7-5. Next year, 06, 6-6. Fourth in the North. Next year was the 12-1, 7-1 year. Mm-hmm. Then 8-5 and 5-7. My point is, the easy part's been done. That's why, like, I'm now, after watching Lance Leipold, 2 years in, if you're not competitive, your ass is fired.
Yes.
Like it's done. No power program. Is there anywhere that you aren't competitive? Now, what's competitive? I mean, you can debate that. Is 4-8 and four gut-wrenching losses competitive? Yeah, it probably is. But Lance Leipold has removed any and all doubt that anybody needs 5 or 6 years to really, for us to know, right? Now, if you're thinking this is an underhanded shot at Eli Drinkwitz, I'm not. He's been competitive all 3 years.
Yes.
He met that goal his first year. He checks that box. They have been a competitive team. And I think he is also an example of this next step's the hard one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know Kansas fans feel like getting to 500, if I could just get to 500. 500's easy. Like, Leipold's done, and I've been the biggest champion, I think, of any non-Kansas fan out there of Lance Leipold. And I will continue to champion him because I think he gets how to coach quarterbacks, how to identify quarterbacks, and how to coach offense, right? But his next step will be significantly harder than the step he has taken from here.
And go ahead.
Well, I just to kind of add to that, what you just listed with Mangino, he had one year with a winning conference record.
Yeah. And a 500
year as
well.
And that was the year where he was helped along without Texas or OU being in the schedule that year.
Yeah, we lived it too.
Think of the logic going from just 6-6. Forget what was before. 6-6 to 8-4 or 9-3, whichever one. That the likelihood of you going from 6-6 to 8-4 is increased by the fact that you were really bad the previous year. That's what people think. 2-6 must be 8 next. But if you'd gone 6-6-6, you wouldn't think you're going to win 8 games the next year, would you? If you'd gone 6-6 back-to-back years? So what's the logic of thinking you're going to take? You're more likely to make a two-game jump.
You're
going to
go from 0-1-2-6-2. Yeah. Oh, now 9.
Yeah.
No, you're more likely like 3.
Well, what makes you think you're going to win 8 games? Because they were really bad 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Championship. Actually, you'd be more likely to go 6-6-8 than you are to go 2-6-8.
I feel pretty good about how my read on Kansas. I said this year my prediction would be 4-8. I think the ceiling is 6-6. And I think they reached the ceiling. If you want to say they could have been 7-5, the TCU game was close.
Yeah.
It was close. There were other close games, but there were also some skin of the teeth wins. And so if you want to say the ceiling had to be higher because no one ever reaches the ceiling, that's not true. But 6-6, that's about as good as this team could have been. Right? And now the hard part comes.
Winning 7.
Because to win your 7th and 8th, it's not just one win. It's all 6 of those. Curtis loves to point this out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to win all 6 of the 6 you won again.
Yes.
That's right.
And get one more.
But people look at it like you're on an arrow. You're going from 2-6. What direction is it pointing? It's pointing up. Well, it isn't an arrow. It isn't a straight line.
There are much more.
You build up to one thing, and then you stop, and you go, okay, where are we? Well, you're on the floor that half the country is on. There's no reason to think you're going to be on the next floor just because you were down here the first time.
Yeah, plus I have not seen their non-con for the next couple of years, I know you had it rolled up there. But and then when Oklahoma and Texas are officially gone, when?
24,
right? By the 24 season or after 24 season?
No, they got 2 more years, so after
okay,
the 24 season.
23, 24. And then the teams you're bringing in ain't no slouches. You know what I mean?
They're helped along that one just lost
one
their
of them,
coach.
Yeah, one of them
Fickle's gone now,
bolted.
Yeah.
I will tell you that you will see a TCU-like existence, not this year's TCU, the last few years' TCU from all of those teams. That's my expectation.
Yeah.
BYU is not – BYU recruits where BYU recruits.
Yeah.
This is not going to – they're not going to suddenly own Texas.
Right.
Right? Central Florida is going to be Central Florida. Cincinnati is going to be most of what Cincinnati has been. If you think Cincinnati is going to be knocking on the top four, right, top 12 is going to get you in. They're not. This conference got better as a basketball conference. It did not get better as a football conference,
right,
despite what you see. Because all those teams that are like 13 in the AAC – Like, TCU was better than any one of these teams that they're bringing in when they were in the Mountain West, because they'd win one game against a Power 5 school in the non-con, dominate the Mountain West, and then get a team that didn't want to be there, Wisconsin, in the Rose Bowl, take them down, and everyone would talk about how they're number four in the country. Well, by resume, that's fine. But if you're going to line up and play seven-game series, no, they're not. And none of those programs will come in here and run roughshod.
No,
they won't.
I never said that.
No, I know. I think there are people out there like, oh my God, what are we going to do with Houston? I don't know. Houston couldn't pee a drop this year.
Right.
Right? And they're not even in the league. Oh, Cincinnati's so good. For about 10 minutes, Cincinnati's been something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, not, this is not year 20 of Cincinnati with nine wins or more.
Right. Before Fickell, though, were they? They weren't bad before.
No, they got built up by Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I'm sure it's Brian Kelly. That's exactly right.
Who's the
right.
second
That's
most exactly. famous player on the Chiefs? Besides Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce. Yeah, how many people, when he came, knew what Cincinnati even was then? I mean, if he'd gone to Alabama, people would know Travis Kelce went to Alabama.
Yeah, right.
But he went to Cincy, so people go, what's that all about?
And then you find out why
That's
he was
That's the history
there.
Of that program, generally. With the exception of last year.
This is a point that Bob Huggins made talking about Gonzaga playing in a big conference of basketball, but I think it stands for football. You're one of those conferences for football. Your sleepy game against a team that's lower in the conference, in one of these conferences, is maybe like the 100th best team in the country. Now your sleepy game against a lower team is against the 35th best team in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's night and day moving in. And they will not fare as well as they have fared in those other leagues. I guarantee it. Now, Gus Malzahn at Central Florida might, for a short time, until he takes another Power 5 job, make me eat those words, because he can flat-out coach. And I think he can recruit. But in the end, it's Oklahoma State, it's Baylor, it's K-State. These are going to be the heavyweights of this league.
TCU probably stick around. They're pretty good. It's a pretty good team. Pretty well coached.
It's well coached with someone else's guys.
Yeah, we'll see how he does
with the new sheriff in town, where everybody wants to please him. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Dykes has been fired how many times, and now it just works at TCU.
Yeah,
I will. Let me tell you how that ends. He gets fired.
Most of these guys.
What year? I don't know, but it ends with him being fired at TCU. If you think they're about ready to ascend to being a perennial, do you remember all that crap when A&M and Mizzou left, and it was like, the Big 12 got better. TCU's better than A&M. Well, Jimbo Fisher is trying to prove that right.
This year,
but in reality, no, they're not. They're not. They have a 40,000-seat stadium that they struggle to sell out in the Dallas Metroplex. Yep. They put 100,000+, well, not this year because they got so bad that they're not. There's plenty of pictures of empty seats down there at A&M. But they're not, and they cannot sustain that kind of excellence. You can't do it. The schools that can are the big stadiums, right? The biggest question on that one is, can Nebraska get it back? Because they've got the big stadium and the fans and the
– Sure.
And I think they will with Matt Rhule. By the way, before we get too far from it, Kansas non-con schedule.
Yeah, go
right
ahead.
Next year, Missouri State,
okay,
Illinois,
okay,
and at Nevada.
All right.
So, I mean, big boy at Illinois has kind of got it going now.
Yeah.
Right.
Bielema.
Brett Bielema.
And they scheduled that game with Lovie Smith at the helm. So it's a different.
That's what
than
happens
when
you schedule
it.
10 years out.
And I don't know, what did Missouri State do this year? Do they still have Bobby Petrino as their coach? I mean, that could be a little saltier than you think. And then at Nevada, Nevada's a pretty good team. Yeah. 24.
Yeah, not bad.
Lindenwood.
Yes, he's still there.
He's still there. Okay. Yeah. Lindenwood at Illinois, UNLV. UNLV is getting better. I don't know if they'll be any good by them.
By that time,
This year was a step in the right direction.
They're all manageable non-cons, is what you're trying to say.
I don't know. Illinois is a top 25 team already.
Yeah.
25, Fresno State, Stephen F. Austin at Mizzou. 26, Mizzou. 27, Missouri State at Washington State. So you can really recruit out there in the sticks in Washington. Louisiana Tech.
With, who's it, Leach?
Yeah.
Coaching.
Boy, man, how about, if you're a Mizzou fan, you just some great games to go see, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the other? We'll get
you don't even
Mizzou
have a return game at UNLV. You don't even get to go to Vegas. They're coming here for a payday.
So the one time you'd want the one game to be the other place.
Exactly right.
Please let us have a fun weekend.
Is that right? I just got texted that UNLV fired their coach. Didn't they just hire him a year ago?
Probably.
Well, maybe I didn't. Did you see part of Leipold's contract is if they don't start the construction of that big thing they're going to do out there by July 1st of next year, 2023, he can void his contract and be zero buyout for him.
You know what that is? That's
lighting a fire under somebody's butt.
That is Travis Goff burning the boats behind the donors.
Yes.
You like him. You said fix it. We fixed it. Now give me the money.
Yeah, let's go. Here it is. He's going to buy his way out of this.
Every deal needs a deadline. He just
got it. I think that's classic.
And for the record, yes, Marcus Arroyo was fired yesterday after his third season at UNLV.
His third year? What'd he go at this year?
5-7.
And they fired him at 5? Yep. What were they the last couple of years?
0-6 in the COVID year, 20. 2-10 last year, 2-6 in the league, and this year 5-7 and 3-5.
And he's out.
Gone.
Was there a scandal? They have been god awful.
Is there a scandal?
Let me see. This is Fox, the Fox TV station in Las Vegas. UNLV has fired its head coach after missing out on a bowl game once again. UNLV athletic director confirmed. Wow.
That's a little bit of like, that was DRF's hire, Desiree Reed Francois.
He had 2 years left on his contract.
Wow.
Get a little buyout. Sit around.
I mean, I pay attention to that program because I have friends that live there and friends that cover that team and everything. So, but I was like, I was shocked when my buddies, guys, they just fired their coach. I'm like, no, they're like way better than they've been for years. Oh no, we should be way better than this. Okay.
I'm gonna ask a really dumb question now. How has their basketball been lately?
Lon Kruger's son is their coach.
Right. That's right.
And
that's exactly right.
The guy that Reed Francois hired is at Iowa State now.
Okay.
She hired Vegas loved Lon Kruger. And Lon was retiring. That's who they would have loved to get back. And so they're like, okay, we'll hire his son.
Yeah, I got you.
And so, like, I think that was like, if you want to get a donation from anybody, hire a Kruger. And we'll see. To this point, it has been
they're currently
special.
7-0, but it's
Maybe this
non-con.
Is the breakout year. I don't know. What were they last year?
How many years has he been?
18-14, 10-8. This is his second season.
Yeah, this is
not
second.
Kevin Kruger.
No, it's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
He might be really good. I don't know. We'll see.
But Dad's probably helping behind the scenes a little bit.
Everybody there thinks that they're going to get into the Pac-10 or the Big 12 because both those leagues got to have that stadium.
Oh, yes.
I'm like, no. No, that's not how it works.
Actually, maybe
that you have a nice building that you will make money off of is of no concern. I'm like, you guys are missing the boat on that.
That's not how any of this works.
Yeah. You have an NFL team, an NHL team, and MLB says they're coming. How do we think UNLV is going to fare in the fight for ticket, purchases with
not
that
well.
Market now? How's St. John's doing, right? Like, there are colleges and, what's Villanova's attendance? I mean, that's the best example of a city school being really good. And basketball thrives better in city schools, but, the NBA's been eyeing Vegas forever as well. You get an NBA
right.
team,
well,
UNLV is never going to pee a drop again.
Right. And in the Villanova's campus is a long way from downtown. It's 15 miles from downtown Philly when they play their big games at the Wells Fargo Center. But they play on campus. That place only seats about 6,500 people. That's all it seats.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
Villanova.
It's a pretty small arena.
It's Villanova.
And they're really suffering this year. They are losing big time. They got Oklahoma tomorrow?
Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday.
Oklahoma, Saturday. And they're 2-4 or 6 or something. They're really struggling.
Oklahoma?
No, Villanova.
Villanova?
And their two best players are out.
Because Jay Wright's like, oh, this team's going to suck. I'm out of here.
Bye-bye.
I'm not coaching these clowns.
That's right. There you go.
So now Villanova will again assume the position.
I guess. We'll see.
That they assumed much of their Big East time when they didn't have Jay Wright.
When they didn't have Jay. Even when they had Jay early, remember, he was there three or four years, and they wanted to fire him.
By the way, fans of Syracuse just said, it'd be nice to have two wins now.
Would it be nice?
We have two. We have more than two, but it sucks at Syracuse right now. It's not good.
Orange are hurting a little bit.
Boeheim is not going out with glory.
Good Lord.
They let him talk him into, well, no, I got to get the program to where it needs to be. I'll coach one more year. And I'm like, this is not going to work.
But
you,
well.
You know, he's Jim Boeheim. He won the only national championship.
That's right.
All the Final Fours. I mean, you kind of just got to go down with the ship. And then immediately go hire either the Alabama or Arkansas coach. The Alabama coach is the one that was at Buffalo, right? Nate Oates.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hire. Nate Oates.
Why would he leave?
To Syracuse next year.
Why would he leave?
Oh, because we're a basketball school.
Again, why would he leave?
Because he's been to Syracuse once.
Yeah.
Right? Let me be the fan now.
Yeah.
Well, he once had a guy who was there. He knows the Buffalo, the fertile Buffalo recruiting grounds.
Recruiting guys for basketball, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know. What's not to like?
He can come back home.
The great of bringing the recruits in when there's about 18 inches of snow just fell. And yeah. We couldn't get them in the airport.
It is the ultimate one-coach program. He has been there for 50 years.
That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal.
50 years.
By the way,
a lifetime.
My favorite college fan argument, along with, well, that coach, these are all the reasons that coach would love to come to our school, is also any great NBA player who went straight from high school to the NBA. It's, well, he was going to come here if he chose to go to college.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
He was going to go here. LeBron would have come to Kansas if he didn't go to the NBA.
Oh, he's definitely. Yeah,
same with Kobe.
Oh,
yeah. 100%.
Oh, yeah. No. Kobe would have gone to Villanova. He was right down the street there, Lower Merion High School.
Sorry, your turn.
He was going to Nova.
He'd gone to Missouri.
Listen, if we weren't getting sanctions, you want to hear the great Syracuse one? Mm. If we weren't getting sanctions, Jalen Rose, his first choice was Syracuse. And he was going to go there. And, of course, he became buddies with Chris Webber.
Right.
And so Webber's second choice was Syracuse to Michigan State. But when Syracuse bailed out, then Michigan, Jalen Rose went to Michigan. That's what got Webber there. And, of course, Juwan Howard wanted to play wherever Jalen Rose played. So we would have actually had the three best of the Fab Five.
Fab Three.
Yeah, that's the Syracuse.
Jimmy King and Ray
fable.
Jackson would have been there. Would have been
a lot of those.
That's every
Cuse
school
at
has
Illinois
that.
Tonight, 12.5-point dog.
Yes. Love me some Illinois.
That's a ranked team they're playing.
Love me some. They're 16 in the country. Thanks for that hot tip.
I knew you knew that.
They have a good coach. Brad Underwood.
Underwood, yeah.
I'm kind of out of season on the coaching names. It takes me a minute.
Yeah,
by the way,
Musselman is the Arkansas coach because I just called him the Arkansas coach.
Don't wake me until the Chiefs are eliminated from.
Speaking of,
or win the Super Bowl.
UNLV or Reno?
Who?
Musselman?
Reno.
He was Reno?
Okay. Not Reno, Nevada, which is at
Nevada. Yeah.
Nevada at Reno, but it's known as Nevada, yes. And could recruit there. And shockingly, he's recruiting at Arkansas.
What?
I think I would leave Alabama. I don't think I would leave Arkansas for Syracuse. I think Syracuse is the ultimate. It is the ultimate challenge. It's one coach. Who knows if that thing's any good? You may be right. It may be like 6,000 people. They may tear down the dome and just play games back in Manly
The dome?
Dome opened, I think, in 79. No, in 80, maybe.
They haven't talked about tearing that down and getting to a new arena.
No, they renovated it.
Okay.
Now it has orange and blue lights, and they put new supports on the roof and everything.
Pretty.
Ooh, yeah. Sweet. I heard somebody tell me that you can't build a dome in a snowy place because it can't hold the snow.
Can't hold snow on a roof?
I guess it doesn't snow in Minneapolis anymore.
No.
Have you seen that place? Good
it's
Lord,
fantastic.
That place is fantastic.
Explain why Buffalo's building, what,
$2 billion?
$2 billion stadium.
I forget
outdoors.
No roof.
No roof.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but it's not like Syracuse is close to Buffalo.
2 hours.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Something.
It may as well.
But
you know what? Speaking of Nate Oates, Syracuse may as well be in Alabama as far as it is away from the snow.
Yeah. No, there's plenty of snow. Plenty of snow in Syracuse, yes.
I guess two of the guys who were doing the broadcast, I don't know if it was Buck and it's Aikman, or if it was Romo and Nance. I forget which two, but they were talking. They were doing a game.
Bills, Buffalo game, or
the Minnesota game.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're saying, hey, you can talk all you want about SoFi and Las Vegas. He said, this place is spectacular. He said, this place is just incredible.
And that's what we're going to get here in Kansas City, right?
They had to cover up that ceiling to host the Final Four, though, in Minneapolis, because it's a glass ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what we're getting. $2 billion and change. Not into it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and then pay for the other team downtown. It's a brand new one there, too.
Listen, if you saw how much money was coming into these governments, you'd be like, why are we even talking about this? Come on. Stop. Stop. We'll take a break, get some Frank opinions with the Godfather, Frank Bull. He's in the program.
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Vin Scully would have been 95 today. How many no-hitters did he call?
Amazingly, 96.
Incredible.
It's an incredible total.
He called Larson's. Did he call the World Series?
He's one of them.
I think it's like 14, isn't it?
7.
20.
Oh, wow. Good Lord.
Frank and I together nailed it.
That's right.
Most of those the Dodgers, but he also called Tigers 84. Jack Morris. He had a couple on the Saturday game of the week. 20 no-hitters, 3 perfect games.
Wow.
Is that a lot?
I think it's above average, probably.
I think it's a lot. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. You know, if you go to the Kansas City Barbecue store, great discounts right now on the Traeger grills. You can save $150 off the Pro 780, $200 off the Pro 575, a couple hundred bucks off the Ironwood 650 and 885, and $400 off the Timberline 850 and 1300. The only place to get your Traeger grill is over at the Kansas City Barbecue store. Find them online at thekansascitybbqstore.com. Great specials now through December 24th. After that, they are gone. So stock up, shop right now. Everything you need to grill like a pro, it's at the Kansas City Barbecue Store. Remember, a gift card to the Kansas City Barbecue Store is also good at Joe's. And likewise, a gift card to Joe's is good at the Kansas City Barbecue Store. So get it tonight. Get you some Joe's tonight and then get you some gift cards. Ultimate gift. Give the gift of the best barbecue in the world. Or give the gift of a new Traeger grill. It's at the Kansas City Barbecue Store, thekansascitybbqstore.com.
It's the best thing in the world. That's
I think
guy's
so too.
Christmas,
that's
you know,
right.
New
that's
Year's
right.
or Christmas Eve, run from place to place and get your gift cards. It's
and perfect. You know what? This one, unlike what you see on television with all the car companies these days, is actually attainable.
You know what I mean? The two new cars sitting in the driveway?
Or the, I bought you a dog.
$85,000 apiece?
Well, since I'm a smoke show, runway model, I got you a truck.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You got me a dog, and I got you a truck that burst right through the snow.
Right. By the way, who's driving that truck?
I have no idea.
If we're having a moment on Christmas morning, right. Who's driving that truck like a bat out of hell?
That's right.
Somebody want to help me out with that?
It's a cute dog, by the way.
Because whoever they were was talking with the missus not long ago.
Fact. Probably brought the missus out there with the dog.
I mean,
hey, isn't that guy you work with that you occasionally have lunch with? Isn't that
him?
Derek?
Yeah.
That's familiar.
There's a clever new one where the couple leaves their house to go see the grandparents, and as they're leaving, they have a car, and Christmas decoration bow falls off of their house and happens to land on the car.
The dad's like, all right.
And as they arrive, the dad thinks that they bought the car for him.
Yeah. So. And then he's driving it and all happy and the son looks miserable. And he goes, I can't wait to see what you got your mom. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, good times. Curtis, where do we begin with some Frank opinions here, buddy?
Chiefs, Bengals, who you got? I'll end the suspense and say Chiefs are the answer. What's the percentage?
Can we at least get something right first? Can we get?
You both were going to say Chiefs. Stop it.
I don't know.
We were trying to save time.
All right, who's going first? Percentage.
Chiefs. He's already given us.
Yeah, but yeah, what percentage?
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I first?
Yeah, you go first.
Oh gosh.
This time.
71.
Higher.
83. I hate you. No matter what you I do this crap.
No matter what you're going to say.
He only asked that so he could do that.
I know.
You can tell. He had that one set up.
Go ahead,
has
go
Clyde Edwards-Helaire played his last game for the Chiefs, yes
Ooh,
or no?
Ooh, this is a good one.
I like that one.
I mean, not only Clyde Edwards-Helaire likes that one, but, you know.
I'll say no.
I think the fans will say yes.
51-49. Yes. Does Melvin
route is on.
Does Melvin Gordon play this season for the Chiefs? Yes or no?
Oh God,
no.
Oh, I'll say yes.
The fans want to say no.
58-42. No. Interesting that the day
Fumbleina won't be playing for the Chiefs. What the heck's going on?
The day after their kick returner fumbles for the third time and loses his job.
Yeah, that's true.
They signed a guy to the practice squad. No, but
they're
going to
fix that. Yeah. They're going to fix that.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Who wins Saturday? Kansas State, TCU.
Well, I picked the Cats on Sunday Sound Off, much to the chagrin of Dia. She was not happy.
Oh, yeah. She's, she's a big Dallas Cowboys fan, too.
And a TCU grad.
Yes,
and
I know
so
that.
She had choice words for me as I left.
Oh, wow. That's unusual. It's very unusual. Okay, TCU, I'll say K-State.
I'll say K-State, too. Yeah. I like the Cats, and I think the Cats fans will carry the day.
Number?
I'm upright. 62%.
63.
50.8.
Wow.
50.8? Oh, my gosh.
Wow. How yeah, as I was that? Walking down the hall to leave, she's like, I said, yeah, by the way, the Cats are beating your horn frogs. And she goes, yeah, well, you suck. And I said, yeah, take a number.
Missouri fans, do you want to play Kansas in a bowl game? Yes or no?
Missouri fans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Yes.
Yeah, they'll yes. say they'll say yes.
Percentage? But,
Europe.
Yeah. 60.
61.
68.
Okay.
What is it? Am I 0 for 5 here? What?
Yeah.
Down
yeah.
5.
Kansas fans.
Now here comes the Kansas one.
Do you want to play Missouri in a bowl game?
Yes.
Percentage?
So I got to go this time. This one's going to be higher. What did that one end up being?
68.
This one will be 76%. No. 78%.
Lower.
74.
Yes, I finally got one.
By the way, 24/7 Sports has updated their bowl projections today.
It's a Liberty
Bowl. Missouri, Kansas.
Yes. And I saw, again, Kansas State, Alabama.
He says, right? We're told Kansas is lobbying for this matchup with the former Big 12 rival. It'll be up to the SEC to let this one happen.
As Sarin pointed,
is Bill Self on that lobbying committee for this Missouri game?
I don't know.
Are you sure?
We pointed out yesterday that Missouri's basketball that game that day isn't against a rummy. It's against Kentucky.
So. They play Kentucky that day. So they'll be sending their fans down to Memphis to watch the Liberty Bowl when the basketball team will be playing Kentucky.
Wow.
That's why there's good. I had some people tell me from the Mizzou side that Mizzou doesn't want that game.
As a Kansas fan who does want that game, if I were a Missouri fan – having nothing to do with the fact that you'd be playing KU, just spreading out your fans when your basketball team is playing Kentucky, I wouldn't want to do that.
I think I would. I think the football thing is a one-off. You're a football school, yeah. Aren't you?
If you think you can beat them, sacrifice the game for the chance to win a bowl game against Kansas.
Well, here's a thought. Find 8,000 people to go to your basketball game.
Yeah.
Right.
Can we stop acting
I know
like
during the Christmas holidays, right? School will be out, correct?
28th.
What date is the
28th?
28th, that's right.
So the Mizzou Arena is not guarded by dragons.
No.
No.
I like that.
Or whales. The whales flag.
Yeah, you can walk right on in.
To reference the Grunhard, there's not an empty moat around the Shea
yes.
Center.
No.
I heard that about the moat.
Around the what?
Around the Shea stadium. Center.
What's the Shea Center?
That's what I jokingly called it because that's what it was called for about 8 minutes
oh,
before.
Oh, that's right. That was her name?
It's called Paige Arena.
Paige Arena.
I thought it was
Paige. No, it's Paige.
Shea?
No, it's Paige.
Page.
That's what I said.
If you're going to be funny, at least got to be accurate.
Yeah. If you're going to be the smart-ass KU guy with the Mizzou guy sitting right here, you need to get it right.
Don't be the dumb-ass smart-ass.
I don't know what you guys heard, but as the guy that edited that edits the podcast, I said Paige.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
What was her her last name? Was
Paige Laurie.
Paige Laurie. That's right. One of Laurie's kids. That's right.
Did you go in-store Christmas shopping on Black Friday, yes or no? In-store Christmas shopping.
No.
Oh, God, no. No. Vast majority.
Percentage?
No. You're up.
Am I up?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Right?
I think that's right. Okay.
You broke my perfect game.
No. 70%.
71.
89.
Why would you?
No reason.
Why would you?
There's no reason to go. I understand. I should have got 90.
They're going to get right out there. Because they've got these incredible sales that are only available for one day.
Shoot myself.
And by the time you get there, they're already done anyway.
Do what most Americans do. Find a bar and drink.
Yes. Or find a couch and drink.
Yeah.
Do you still have leftovers from Thanksgiving?
Yes.
We don't. Well, do we have a little bit of pie? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. They say no. We're no in our house.
56, 44. No.
Get after it.
It was 55.6, and I was confused which direction to go.
If you'd eat more than one meal a day,
why'd I come in here today?
You'd be done with those leftovers.
That's right.
Should Curtis buy a KU hat? Yes or no?
Did you hear what Curtis was last night?
No.
Curtis.
I was in the fog.
Or a guy who looked just like him.
You were at the basketball game?
Was at Allen Fieldhouse last night.
Why were you there?
A friend had a couple of great seats.
I thought you might be announcing something.
For
I'm going,
myself,
oh my God.
And I invited my friend Matt, and we went out and watched the game.
How many times have you been in Allen Fieldhouse?
Five, I think.
Okay. So
I think it's just the second time I've been there as a fan.
Okay.
The only other time was Teron Liu's first game at Allen Fieldhouse when he was at Nebraska.
Yeah.
That was, otherwise, you were providing in-depth, excellent coverage.
The other three have been as a media, as a scribe,
as a media fatty.
Right.
Media
fatty. I was in there twice for
Should Curtis buy a KU hat?
Yes or no?
No.
It's a hard one to judge to a degree because you don't
Curtis
really know who's
going
to take
KU
part.
No.
The Mizzou fans are going to say no, but I think everybody else, like K-State fans will probably say no too. I'll say no.
No.
Percentage?
61. 2. 57. I almost went 58. Nailed it. What was the final on that? Hang on, take your shoes off. You're going to need toes for this one.
How about 8-1?
That's the all-timer.
This is the all-timer.
That's
also
rough.
Curtis, proud of you for correctly naming your rival team's arena, unlike another person on the show.
We'll take a break, find out how stupid I am on current events. It's coming up next. What in the world, Saran? With our man, Frank Bull, the Godfather, is in the house.
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
All right, Frank, what in the world? What do you got for me?
What country is experiencing widespread protest over extreme COVID lockdowns?
China, maybe?
Yep.
Because they can't get that figured out. They invented it. You'd think they'd figure out how to solve it.
A family game night over in Oklahoma over the Thanksgiving weekend ended in gunfire. No one was killed. What game were they playing that got everybody so upset?
Chutes and ladders. It is a pisser.
Monopoly.
Okay.
Why did 200 people have to be rescued on a northern Minnesota lake?
It was thawing.
They were ice fishing on a frozen lake when a big piece of ice broke off and they were all floating in the middle of the lake.
That's awesome.
And what Hawaiian volcano erupted for the first time in almost 40 years?
I believe it's Heiawanalea.
Mauna Loa.
Okay. That's the other one. Good call.
Okay.
Good call, Frank. You're the man, buddy. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
That was funny. NFL, how many players have had 150 yards passing and 150 yards rushing in the same game? Brought to you by Good Sense.